Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. I see you out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. Woohoo. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm trying to stand up straight with this wind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's strong.
I hear you. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. A really windy weekend, too, Brittany.
Yes, it surely was. So what's happening right now is we have this low pressure system. It's kind of like above Lake Superior, not really here, but a strong cold front moving through, which is producing 40 mile per hour winds. And what that means is it's knocking our temperatures, not only actual temperatures dragging down throughout the afternoon, so we're already at our highs, but it's also creating a wind chill of 10 degrees cooler than the temperature that you see on your phone or in your car. 10 degrees cooler because of the 40 mile per hour wind gust. So it feels like below freezing right now.
Oh my gosh.
So I can put the kite away. I should not have the kite out today. I thought, okay.
No.
Yeah, rip it right out of your hands, man.
All right. Well, good to know. And thank you for that, Brittany. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to, again tomorrow. Okay. You have a good day.
Sounds good.
Stay grounded.
Yeah. Don't take off.
Yeah. We appreciate you, Brittany. She joins us every morning right in this time slot. We got good things lined up for you today, everybody. We had the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club right around the corner. We're looking forward to diving into that and talking about our friends over there. We will also get into a couple of other interesting topics. How much of our life we spend on content. They are not talking about us specifically, because if that was the case, it's 100% almost.
Yeah, right.
We brought this up last week. Australia might ban social media for kids under 16.
Yeah,
want to get into that one. Mm-hmm. Touch on that a little bit. 9 o'clock hour. It's a Monday. You know what that means. We're going to kick things off at the Kitchen's Open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo. Looking forward to that. That should be fun. Touch on some entertainment news as well. The Grammys were announced. We are going to dive into those a little
That's
bit.
That's right, man.
Talk about some local theater going on. We got some local theater coming up
theater.
This week.
Love that theater.
We love the theater.
Theater?
You have to say it, theater. Tor.
No,
it's not
dumb.
It's not right if you don't say tor at the end. Or is there a ski? Is it a theater ski?
No, the argument is between ER or RE.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The age-old argument.
Live theater, it's supposed to be RE. If it's movie theater, it's ER.
Wait, what? What? I've never heard that before.
Oh, look it up.
I was going to say, you're making that up, aren't you?
No, I'm not. If you look at the difference between the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and how they spell it and some other theaters in the area, it depends on preference. Because people spell it R-E, some people spell it E-R.
All right. I will provisionally agree with you.
When I
check it out.
It's a win on a Monday. Yes.
Hang on a second here. Let me get this. All right. There we go.
Start off Monday with a win.
There we go.
You know what? I'll take whatever I can get.
I hear you. But today is also Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. And we are going to spend some time on this. We will start and end our show with Veterans Day conversation. Mm-hmm. And I mention that because we will be wrapping on some good stories, some information for you on our veterans. And I do want to start in a couple places. For one, we've had some veterans deals out there. And we'll kind of get to those in a moment. But I do mention that there are veterans deals out there in part because on this Veterans Day, there is 7.5%, around 7.5% of our veterans in the United States live below the poverty line.
Mm.
As far as we have in a 33.9% of our veterans that are that commit suicide every year. Mm-hmm. These are important stats. There are many, many others out there. Real quick, 988 is the National Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
That's correct.
And I know these are heavy. These are heavy. You know what else is heavy? Carrying this country.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying freedom, which is what our soldiers do. And you are going to see a lot of people, a lot of morning shows, a lot of people talking about Veterans Day today and talking about their personal ties to it. And I welcome those. I think those are encouraged. They show empathy. They show how much we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who you voted for last Tuesday, no matter where you live, no matter what your sex or any of these things, chances are you know a veteran or had a veteran in your mm-hmm. family.
Yep.
And it brings us closer together. And we need more of that. So I don't begrudge those things. But what I don't hear is enough people are talking about what we can do for our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, John Stewart is at Capitol Hill to fight for our veterans and fight for Agent Orange. People who, mm-hmm. who suffered from that. Yep. He's done a lot of work on these things. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Like, you can wave the flag all you want. You can paint yourself in the American flag. That's cool. What are you doing for our veterans?
Yep.
For all the talk and pomp and circumstance of America this, America that, mm-hmm. and everything. Okay, now put your money where your mouth is. What are you doing for our veterans? Because, again, these numbers mm-hmm. are insane. That we have any percentage of our veterans mm-hmm. under the poverty line.
Right.
We have any percentage of our veterans on suicide watch or in fear of that or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The PTSD situation that mm-hmm. we still don't. We continue to have fireworks and everything, but how many people actually care about our veterans when we're lighting those things off? There are so many layers to this.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, honor our veterans today. Wave the flag. Wave it proud. Wave mm-hmm. it as high as you can get it. While you're doing that, also keep in mind what we can be doing better for our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are some deals out there, which, as I noted, are needed for our veterans.
Right.
USA Today posted a big round of more than 80 Veterans Day deals for you to check out.
All right.
They include free coffee at Starbucks, a free donut at Dunkin', free red, white, and blue pancakes at IHOP, free wings at Buffalo Wild Wings, free meals at Applebee's and Chili's, and around 75 more places are offering free meals today.
Excellent.
Mm. In the history of this day, for those that don't know, originally Armistice Day in 1919, mm-hmm. Marking the first anniversary of the end of World War I,
yes.
became a federal holiday in 1938 and changed to Veterans Day in 1954.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know someone who's a vet, thank them. Thank them for their service. And if you are a vet, we greatly, deeply appreciate you out there. We
Indeed.
Know that we have quite a few of you out there listening. The Armistice took effect at 11 a.m. on this day. On the 11th hour of the 11th day, the 11th month.
Mm-hmm.
So for those wondering, you know, why we always celebrate Veterans Day on November 11th.
Yep, there you go.
There you go. That's it. There were some other interesting things about the day, I believe. Just need my computer to work. That's all. Alabama held the first known veterans celebration.
Oh, really?
Back in 1947, that was held in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
A veteran named Raymond Weeks, a native of the city, organized the event, which included a parade and other festivities. He was awarded the Presidential Citizen Medal of President by President Ronald Reagan back in 1982.
Cool.
Wow.
That was just a couple years after the end of World War II. That's really neat.
And if you happen to have friends or know people in other countries or anything, make sure to extend this, because Canada and Australia, the United Kingdom, are also marking today as their Remembrance Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Certainly with the, man, look into the history of World War I.
Yeah.
It is insane.
Yeah.
That is the craziest darn, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. No war really makes a lot of sense.
That one makes less sense than most. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. And there are certainly other holidays that we mentioned are in honor our veterans on, and mm-hmm. and we do this for the right reasons, hopefully, for your heart, your soul tells you to. You want to be appreciative, you want to say thanks. How do you thank somebody for the ultimate sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
How do you thank somebody for doing something that is so beyond words? You know, I think that I gave you a couple of ideas,
mm-hmm.
and I think that you each out there, you listen to your gut, and it'll tell you ways to honor our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Census Bureau of 2022, there were 16.5 million veterans living in the United States, about 6.4% of the adult population. Almost 7% of our adult population is veterans.
That's a lot.
16 million Americans served in World War II. In 2022, just over 167,000 of them were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
1.8 million served in the Korean War. 2.7 million served in the Vietnam War. And 65,000 served in Gulf War.
Okay.
So there's many, many other stats out there, many other things I think that are interesting research and I think worth looking into. Did you guys have anything? Because I just realized I talked the whole time.
Well, that's all right. And I think we talked about this generally on every Veterans Day. We talk about this sort of thing. To me, this is just my opinion on this. If you have served in the military. There should not be any reason why, like you were talking about, James, the homeless rate, the mental, you know, health problems, the suicide issues with all veterans. And I'm totally with you. We should do, there's so many things that we can do with, you know, like just being, doing, saying thank you, or, you know, doing any number of things that we can do. But personally for me, it should not necessarily be up to individuals to take care of these people. This should all be done by the government that is the one who, this is who they served, okay? They served through the government, us, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But the government should be taking care of these people. It shouldn't be an issue. That should never be anything we vote on, okay? Mm-hmm. Every veteran should be taking care of anything they need.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
should be taken care of, okay? Mm-hmm. That's, for me, there's no, this is pretty black and white, okay? Yeah. The government needs to take care of them because they're the ones that deployed them. They're the ones that, you know, did all the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that need to make sure these people are taken care of.
And I will throw in some statistics of what our people, our military veterans here in Wisconsin are struggling with. Over 37% of service members find it difficult to cover expenses here in Wisconsin. Mm. And that's according to recent Household Pulse survey data. Armed services, they have 40% of service members report difficulty covering usual expenses compared to 36.6% of all U.S. adults.
Wow.
And while 71% of us are stressing about the rising price, the recent price increases, nearly 80% of military personnel are worried about those increases. And one of the key issues that is because their basic allowance for housing has not kept pace with the rapidly rising cost of housing in the United States.
Oh my gosh.
So they, you know, they have allowable expenses, and those, you know, we talk about the minimum wage not keeping pace with price increases. Well, the same is true for military members as well. Their allowances have not increased to accommodate for the rising prices in this country.
Wow.
And Seth is absolutely right. That falls on our government. That falls on Congress. That falls on those senators who are voting against these bills and these things that will help veterans.
Yep.
And if I
and it's on us to speak up and say, that's wrong. That is wrong, and you need to fix it.
And it is on the American people, these people that they protect, the freedoms that they protect of ours, it is on the American people to vote in people into office that are going to protect those liberties.
Put pressure on them.
That are not, I don't know, draft dodgers, maybe, or people who have insulted our military at every chance they've gotten. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't put people like that in charge. And,
that makes sense.
Then, or if you do, don't expect there to be a lot done for veterans.
Yeah,
don't expect that because
let's hold their feet to the fire. Let's
Well, and that's again that yes, you're absolutely right, Melissa, and that is where we again the American people need to fight and need to speak up. Mm-hmm. Our soldiers have done enough.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be on veterans. Who fights harder for veterans than anybody?
Veterans, they
former
do.
Veterans,
you are absolutely
That's great, but they shouldn't. To your point, Seth, that's not something they should be having to do.
That's
We should be doing.
And I also want to point out the incredible good that our veterans organizations do for our community. Mm-hmm. Right here in Wisconsin Rapids, our VFW Post 2534, they do amazing things for our community.
They do.
So let's step up and do amazing things for them too.
Yeah,
yeah. There is no such thing as a retired soldier. They just keep working.
They
just keep going.
Yep.
They just keep doing stuff, man. They just keep doing things in our community. And we also got to find out, what is the coolest fatigue? What I was trying to find a light way to wrap up the segment.
What is the coolest
fatigue?
I'm
kind of a fan of the blue one. I'm kind of a fan of the bluish one. I like that.
That's kind
of
cool.
The snow fatigues are pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Like the traditional sailor uniform is pretty cool. You know?
I feel really lame right now. I'm going to be honest. I feel really... It's going to go to break. I didn't want to cut you off, Melissa. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you had anything. I didn't want to make you put you in that spot there. Thank you both. Thank you both. And thank you to the best listeners in radio. We'll take a time out. We will come back. And not only before we end up the show, we'll have some quotes and some fun things about our veterans, some good stories about our veterans. But we'll also have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up on the morning show at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you tomorrow to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe tomorrow when they open their doors at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. For now, though, when you go past, just be really quiet.
Yeah, they're sleeping.
They're trying to taking rest. A nap. They're trying to rest right now. But otherwise, tomorrow it's going to be a party over there. Get on over there. Check out that amazing, unique, wonderful menu they have. The wonderful atmosphere that they got and the amazing people, everybody. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. And as a reminder, they always offer their veterans a 10% discount every day, not just on Veterans Day.
Excellent.
Just let your
if you forget, the service will ask you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And we appreciate our friends at El Cafe that not only do things like that, but do so much else in this community.
Absolutely.
They buy local. They support local. Let's do the same.
Everybody. Yeah, let's do it.
And let's go ahead and take a look at our birthdays and anniversaries. But before that, we want more.
More.
Right? We want more. Get them to us, everybody. You can email us, info@WFHR.com. Keep in mind, you can email any of our staff. You can just go ahead and type in there, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us or melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
Or just Seth. At civicmedia.us, because he's the only Seth in the company.
That's
and he's
right.
The coolest email.
It must be. You know what? Just send all your emails to Seth. It's an easier
it's
one.
It's the
to
easiest one to remember, right?
Yeah. Like half the time, they might get K wrong. They're definitely getting mail off wrong. They're definitely getting that wrong. So, I mean, maybe just to make sure we get those. How great would that be? There's like billions of birthdays and anniversaries we're getting a year, but they're all getting sent to wrong emails.
Yeah, right.
Some guy
I love
out
that
there
idea.
Named James.Malo, or he spells it with two U's or something like that, getting all this.
What is this? Why am I getting all these birthdays?
You can go ahead and direct message us on our Facebook pages. We will definitely get those. And if you want to make darn sure you're going to get your birthday and anniversary on the air, I can think of a really good way, Melissa.
Yeah, just call up 715-424-2600, or it's just one button dial-in with the Civic Media app, which is free.
We're looking forward to talking to you, everybody. Join the conversation. Head on over to our station here and join us. Let's go ahead. We got two possible qualifiers right here. I need a one or a two, Seth.
One.
All right. Gives us the qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a happy birthday to friend of the station, both our stations, I should say, Brad Jansen.
Happy birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday, Brad.
Brad has joined us live on the morning show here. He has also been on Director's Cut with Seth and I. Wonderful musician.
Yes, he's great.
Wonderful. I believe
love Brad.
He's down in Nashville right now, I'm pretty sure, actually.
Oh,
down
cool.
there performing.
That's right. He's getting his songs out there. Yeah.
Yeah, Brad working hard at that, too, in Pullman form. Good luck out there, Brad. Hope it's going well.
Have a great birthday.
Yeah. And we wish a happy anniversary to our qualifiers, Don and Jean Drew Whiskey.
Oh, aww. Don and Jean.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Enjoy your day. We wish you a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good one. We take a look at our celebrity list. And first up on the list, Ty Sheridan is 28. Wade Watts in Ready Player One. He's Cyclops in the X-Men Apocalypse movies. Deadpool 2, Dark Phoenix. Good actor.
Wow.
Good actor. I think you would know him if you saw him
right, kind
of actor. He's had a pretty nice career, really, for not being a household name or anything like that. Leonardo DiCaprio is 50.
He's 50. Wow.
50.
Oscar winner that by all rights should be at least a multiple time Oscar winner.
And if we're all fair, right? Yeah.
Now, you'll never hear him complain about this because he actually does, to some degree, have his feet on the ground. His mother made sure of that. I was raised by a single mother, I believe, and made darn sure that most of his life he was that way. In fact, most of his time in his 20s was spent going to award shows with his mom, those kind of things. You know, there's plenty to say about him off the field or whatever, but when we're talking about the actor himself, you go back and watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and immediately you know that this is going to be one of the better actors we're going to see in our generation.
Some real talent there.
Just multiple movies. Was handpicked by Martin Scorsese to be his next De Niro. Like, you're my next Bobby. You're my next guy. The work that he has done in his career has only been overshadowed by his looks. Like he spent his early 20s basically trying to get taken seriously because he was on Teen Beat magazines every 5 seconds.
He was. You couldn't turn around without seeing him.
Yeah. And push through that to get to the point where he is one of the more respected actors in the game today.
100%.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning. I have a birthday to add.
Yay!
Ooh. New performer to the WRCT stage, Aaliyah Arroyo, celebrates her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Aaliyah.
Happy birthday, Aaliyah.
And I mean, she could go on to do anything she wants with a name like that. Like, that is a beautiful name. That is a great name. Happy birthday, Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you can see her in White Christmas coming up in December.
That's right.
Ooh. Right on, right on. Now, where would you get tickets for that? At wrctheater.org?
That's exactly where you would get tickets.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, now that was wrctheater.org, right? I got that right? I got that.
Yes, and it's
okay.
With an R-E, not an E-R.
Yeah,
thank you, Beth. Nicely done. Nicely done. Thank you, Beth. We'll talk soon. Always love these added birthdays. That's great. Thank you for getting that in. Thank you for getting that in. And watch The Revenant, everybody. That is, I think that may be his best work, The Revenant, from Leonardo DiCaprio. Adam Beach is 52, Native American actor who played Slipknot in the Suicide Squad movies. He was on Law & Order SVU for a while, too.
Interesting.
Okay. I remember thinking going into the last full season I watched of Law & Order SVU, and I remember thinking, oh, he's going to have a nice long run here and everything, and I think they like got written off, wrote off his character like on the season finale.
Don't you hate it when they do
like
that?
Yeah, it was a rip. Demi Moore is 62.
All right.
Wow. Legend.
So many good movies.
Yep.
So many. Such a great one. And I think on a day like this, bringing up G.I. Jane is a good one.
Yes.
You know, a fantastic performance.
That was a good one.
You know, they tried to talk her out of that because it wasn't even in the script. She was going to shave. They had in the script, shave your head. But they were just going to do something else.
Like a skull cap or something.
Yeah, something like that. And she actually kind of like laughed. She's like, you know, I come from a military family. Like, there's no way I'm doing that. And then her agent tried to talk her out of doing the role just because of that. And this is a little hard to remember for some, not us, but for some, this is the biggest actor in the world at the time, pretty much.
Yeah.
And she shaves her head for a role. You don't see that stuff. You don't see it much anymore either. Mm-hmm. And I'm bringing up one tiny thing on her gigantic resume of incredible work. And you don't even have to look too far back because she just did a great movie that's getting in nothing but critical acclaim.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Also, very, very funny. For some reason or another, she was on this TV show that I loved on HBO that only I watched called Animals. She did a cameo on there, and she was hilarious. You just don't get to see her do comedy very much, but she's darn good at it. She's funny.
Yeah, she does a lot of drama, a lot of romance. Mm-hmm. I have to mention Ghost. Of course.
Oh, yes. Right. That's iconic role right there.
Iconic.
Really good performance in that one. Her and Whoopi Goldberg are really great together. One of the most well-rounded actors I've ever seen, Stanley Tucci, is 64 today.
Yes.
Caesar in The Hunger Games, Meryl Streep's sidekick in The Devil Wears Prada, the scientist who creates the serum in Captain America.
Yep.
I mean, you think you know Stanley Tucci's career. I think I know it. And then I look at his IMDb and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot he was in that.
He's been in 600 things,
Great show on CNN as well. I don't know if he's still doing it, but like something about him going all throughout Tuscany.
Stanley Tucci traveling, Italy.
Yes.
He even did a travel show. And by the way, I mean, he knows his stuff. When it comes to food and cooking and stuff, he really does. That's one of his hobbies, yeah.
Like, I just want to do that just to, you know, travel Italy and go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, see where
Why not? Yeah.
I'd like to take the route my family did traveling from the middle of the country and up north and everything. This guy knows what he's talking about, actually, yeah. Fuzzy Zoeller, 73, pro golfer. Fuzzy Zoeller.
Old Fuzzy.
And some people no longer with us, like a legendary funny man, Jonathan Winters, born on this day in 1925. Legend.
I love him. The anarchic comedian, man. They didn't know what to do with the man.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with him.
Everybody that has heard this station for more than 5 seconds has heard me ramble about Robin Williams. Robin Williams would be the first to tell you there is no Robin Williams without Jonathan Winters.
Mm-hmm.
That is his career, and it's unfortunate that is one of the only things we can point to. When, hey, you should see this of Jonathan Winters. Oh, you should see that, because Seth, what he's saying, they really didn't know what to do with Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, he was actually his best stuff. If you check out old episodes of The Tonight Show, when he was on, watching him make Johnny crack up is one of the great things ever. And he did it every time.
I would say him and Dom DeLuise. Yes. I don't know if anybody could make Johnny laugh like, or Burt Reynolds. Yes. Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise. Yes. And there was no question to be asked. There's just, they come out there and immediately Johnny's laughing and losing his mind and crying.
Yeah.
And like 20 minutes go by and nobody asked a question.
No.
Like, it's the greatest.
They're just being silly and it worked. Yeah.
You could never get away with that in modern TV nowadays. No. God, I miss the old Tonight, that Tonight Show. The one where like basically the FCC was just like, we're just going to turn the TV off.
We're going to let you do whatever.
We're going to let the king of night, late night, just do what he's doing here and everything. Jonathan Winters, one of the greats. Mm-hmm. Kurt Vonnegut, born on this day in 1922. Brilliant author. Slaughterhouse-Five, Breakfast of Champions, Cat's Cradle. I don't know if it's a good thing or if it's a credit to his writing that so much of his writing still like has meaning to it and everything. And
especially when it was supposed to be satire.
Right. And George S. Patton, born on this day in 1885, passed away in 1945. Blood and Guts, World War II veteran, general.
Oh, man.
And greatly appreciated.
Except the only problem is with Patton, when we think of Patton, we always think of George C. Scott.
Yes. He looked nothing like that.
No, and he didn't sound. Apparently, Patton's voice was nothing like, you know, the rah, rah, rah. It was more high pitched and stuff, according to his troops. But
man, what a great. That's a good movie, though.
It's an excellent movie. Yes.
One of the better performances you're going to see, too, mm-hmm. George C. Scott. Yep. Easily his best performance.
Oh, 100%.
Which is not easy to say.
Yeah.
Great career. One more time, again, wishing everybody a happy birthday and anniversary out there.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day. Happy anniversary to our qualifiers, Don and Jean Jerwisky.
Don and Jean, congratulations. Jean.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
We will be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the show. Melissa, Seth, and James with you.
All my friends, Yellow Rider.
Gonna have some fun in this segment and this hour and the next hour and plenty more where that came from. Stick around. These next two topics kind of tie together a little bit here, as you kind of know my brain, the way it works with transitions and things. A new poll found the average American now spends 6 hours a day consuming content, quote unquote, consuming content.
Okay.
That includes time spent on everything from streaming and using TikTok to reading books and listening to the radio.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're in there.
6 hours means a full quarter of your life is now spent watching and consuming stuff. Or if you don't count the hours you're asleep, more than a third of your waking hours.
Wow.
Here's a couple of other interesting stats. Age matters. Gen Z consumes the most content per day at 6 hours and 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. Even for people in their 80s, it's 4 hours and 48 minutes.
Wow. Mm. So that's not a huge, a couple hours, I guess. But still, that's a lot. 4 hours. Yeah.
The average person spends $67 a month on content services. The top ones we are paid for in the past year are Netflix, Prime, and Hulu. Cable is now fourth.
Wow. Okay.
Doesn't stop when we're in bed. 79% of young people often or always scroll through their phone and consume content in bed.
Wow.
Only 2% of Gen Zers said that they never do. That's compared to 5% of millennials and 8% of Gen Xers.
Okay. Hmm. Wow.
And
only 8%? Wow, okay.
And if you guys got anything on these, please shut me up. I'll shut up real quick. Three times a month. That's how often the average American feels guilty for wasting too much of their life consuming content.
Well, you know, for me, I guess it's kind of makes sense. We carry everything around with us now, right?
Yeah.
It's all on our phones. It's in our pocket. It makes sense that you would use it more when it's more, the access, it's more available. Mm-hmm. Back when, you know, TV came around in the 40s and the 50s, you couldn't take your TV with you. Now, people were sitting in front of the TV set a lot back then. I mean, as soon as you got a TV, people were watching all the time. But you couldn't take it with you. And that's why it's, I think, different now. It's just ease of access has a lot to do with it.
Well, and before that, people sat around their radios.
Yep.
You know?
Which was way better than anything
else. Campfires and it's
told stories, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's what we do. We're humans. Mm-hmm. We like to entertain.
Yep. We've been doing this since we've been writing on cave walls.
Yeah.
You know,
telling stories, right?
Yeah. But possibly before that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, even with that, I mean, there, if you look back at those cave walls, you'll look and you'll see a little Geico guy. Like that's, I mean, they've been doing this stuff ever since then.
That's amazing.
Long time, man.
It's a long contract.
There's a Where's the Beef lady. There's all kinds of stuff. Rewatching old stuff is almost as popular as new stuff now, even young people.
It's more popular for me.
Right on. 50% of Gen Zers said that they prefer watching something new, and 37% prefer rewatching stuff they've already seen, and 13% don't care.
Is it new? Old? It didn't matter. It doesn't matter.
The biggest thing, to me, the standout of this, I should say, not the biggest thing, but one of the biggest things is, wow, don't we all have this in common?
That's a great point, man.
No matter if it's a large percentage or a small percentage, to the point of the first part of this, and no matter the generation, we're all doing this. It's just a matter of an hour here, an hour there. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you choose to partake of, you know, whether it's you're watching videos on YouTube or you're reading a book with your Libby app. I mean, you're still utilizing your phone. You're taking in content. You're taking in things that other people created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we could very easily segue this, James, into a talk about creating art and the importance of arts in our society. We need it. We all consume it. We all partake in it. So we should be putting back into it as well.
Something like, I don't know, live theater or something like that. You know, that's something you should be
supporting.
Yes.
This week.
It's Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock.
There's a number of tie-ins, and that's a perfect one, Melissa. We have mentioned this before. I will continue to mention it. Wisconsin finished dead last in funding the arts. You don't want the arts? All right. Well, you guys go ahead and try to entertain yourselves without arts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go right ahead. See how that goes.
Just don't build a campfire today. It's too windy.
Don't do that.
It's important. It's very important. And it's something that, again, not only should bring us closer together, that we all have this in common, we all share these things, we're all looking for these things, but also kind of ties into our next topic here.
Oh, okay.
And this comes from last week. I mentioned this one, that Australia might ban social media for all kids under 16. Their parliament plans to vote on the bill later this month. It was announced yesterday by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. He said on social media that it's harming our kids and it's time to do something about it. He called it a world-leading legislation.
Okay.
It would apply to all the big sites like TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, etc. Kids and parents wouldn't get in trouble, just the sites would. They'd have to take, quote, reasonable steps to prevent access.
Oof.
It would go into effect 12 months after the law passes, so late next year. And parents would not be able to opt out. It would be a full ban.
Wow.
Some people think it's a great idea. Others, of course, don't. Mm-hmm. One advocacy group called it a 20th century response to a 21st century problem. The director of a mental health group also said it risks it's risky because so many young people use social media to access mental health services. Others think 16 is just too harsh, and 12 or 13 would be better. But the U.S. already requires a parent's consent before companies can access data for kids under 13. So most of the big platforms already have an age limit in place.
Okay.
Kids get around it by lying about their age
right.
when they open an account, and that's the other argument. It would just push the problem underground. Kids would still manage to log on. They'd just hide it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The head of safety at Meta said that they'll respect the law if Australia goes through with it, but that it might just make people, quote, feel better and not actually do much, not actually accomplish much.
That's the thing.
I think this is the first time I've ever agreed with something somebody from Meta said.
Wow. Yeah.
Personally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I will come right out the gate with, I don't have the answers. I do not have the answers to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe anybody truly does, but I believe that the only way we find them is working together and sharing information and sharing these kind of conversations. Hey, they're doing this over here. How could we take that and you know, tweak it to work for our country and our kids?
Right.
Because to do nothing, it's almost like as if we did nothing about school shootings.
Right.
Oh, wait. Wait a second.
To me, it, yeah. And I'm sorry if that got uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable.
Right.
Absolutely. I do, though, want us to talk these things out. Mm-hmm. I want us to not just kind of, quash anything.
Right.
And I think that last part is so key to this, too.
Right.
The kids find a way.
Yeah.
There is a drinking age limit. There is a driving.
Yeah,
age
there
limit.
Is.
There are limits on what age mm-hmm. you can be to go into certain events mm-hmm. and everything. I feel very confident without guilting myself here or anything. Yeah. I feel very confident kids get around certain things.
We still don't know enough about the effects of social media. There's been studies since it's been going on, but in the scheme of things, it hasn't been around for that long. It really hasn't, and we're just kind of, scraping the surface on what the good, the bad, and all these things about social media is. Just to institute a blanket ban does not seem all that productive to me in a lot of ways. What James said just now makes a lot of sense. Kids will find ways to get around it. They, the ones that really want to will find their way to get on there. The concern is still there. I'm not saying that, there's not concern about social media. Yeah, everyone, I think, has some reservations about it, especially for young people. But I don't know. I don't know if we're at the point now where we can just say it's all bad. We need to get rid of it for a certain group of people.
And I would say that, if we look historically at bans, they're not effective.
They tend not to work very well.
They don't produce the effect that is wanted by instituting a ban. And I would also say restricting the access to information is a horrible idea. Mm. Because guess what? We want parents to be the ones that are, educating their children and having these conversations with them mm-hmm. about what is good and what is not good and, mm-hmm. and what's safe and what's not, and be able to talk with them about bullying online or bullying at school, which is part of a really, negative effect of being online. Mm-hmm. And we've all seen that. However, the parents who aren't having those conversations with their children, and I would ascertain, or I would say that those are the kids who also need more access to the online support systems that are out there mm-hmm. because they're not having those conversations with their parents.
Right.
And I'm finding resources now that I never had as a kid mm-hmm. that are helping me as an adult mm-hmm. process mm-hmm. through some of those things that happened to me as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those resources are incredibly important.
Yeah.
And putting a ban in place is not going to fix the problem.
Yeah. I think what James started out this conversation, I think we just kind of proved this is really complicated.
Okay.
This is one of those things where it's like, wow, I don't think there's going to be any easy answers to this one going forward until we get more information.
One thing I feel very confident in, the answer is not, hey, kids, if something's too tough or we don't like something in life or we're scared of something, we're just going to ban it. We're not even going to talk about it. We're just going to ignore the problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the
It one, does kind of seem like that, yeah.
While also telling you to clean your room and not put everything under the bed. I mean, come on. It just makes sense. You can't see it.
Yeah, so it's not there, right?
I don't see why that didn't count.
Out of sight, out of mind.
I feel like it should have counted. I feel like that's still a clean room. You can't see anything.
Speaking of working out your bitterness, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not shove this under the bed. Let's not shove this under the rug. We will take a quick time out, come back, and we got some interesting ones here. I got Country Life. Did you know there's a Waffle House with a 6-month waiting list?
What?
So, yeah, we get
six
that
months?
One.
6 months?
Got that
a long
coming up.
Time to wait for waffles.
Yeah, especially Waffle House.
And hey, gang, what's the one thing the father of the bride probably shouldn't forget? Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
He did.
No.
We'll have that for you, too. That's all coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us. Gotta love her voice. Every syllable she sings is just unique. It's such a wonderful, wonderful singing style.
Oh, man. And that song, specifically, though, that Hammond organ. Love it. Yeah. Love it.
It's good stuff. We got good stuff lined up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to kick things off with the kitchens open. Beth will be joining us, sitting in, and we'll be going through some fun. She's got a really fun topic for you today, everybody.
Yes.
Be here for the kitchens open at 9 a.m. And a little bit after that, we'll get into some Grammy talk, talk about the Grammy nominations. A little later in the 9 o'clock hour, five ways to unwind after a stressful week.
All right, cool.
Why am I doing that on a Monday? Let's be honest. Come on. Come on. You know why. Because it's been a stressful couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it says week. I'm looking for month.
How about month?
Yeah. We'll get into that one. And I got some new things, a new trend to talk about here and some other fun stuff. But I mentioned that Waffle House. Well, in Decatur, Georgia, lies a piece of culinary history. It's the home of the very first Waffle House.
Oh.
And to get inside, there is a six-month waiting list.
Wow.
Thanks.
And here's the kicker. When you get inside, they won't even serve you breakfast. Instead, it's home to the Waffle House Museum, which is a walk down memory lane. I guarantee you that if I didn't have family in Georgia, I would head to Georgia. I would go to this place, wait in line, starving for waffles, get in, and there ain't a waffle in sight.
Wow.
I guarantee that would happen to me. Mm-hmm. I'm positive it would. So when you step through the front doors, you're instantly transported to where it all began almost 70 years ago. Mm. This first location was opened by Joe Rogers Sr. and Tom Faulkner, and since then, it's boomed into a massive corporation with over 2,000 locations.
Wow.
But the museum is pretty special. The artifacts and memorabilia dating all the way back to the restaurant's beginnings.
Well, that's cool.
And the Waffle House Museum is free to visit, but the tours are booked through the end of this year, and they won't start taking appointments until 2025.
Wow.
Yikes.
Jeez.
Although there is an open house coming up on September 7th from 11 to 2.
Get out the riot, police.
If you want to brave the crowds.
Yeah, jeez.
But I saw this, thought it was quite interesting. and then I thought, I'm showing Seth the kind of a sign of it, the Waffle House.
It's got the classic sign there. Yeah.
But museum is too small for me.
It doesn't say it.
I see that from the highway, and I'm like, oh, waffles.
I swear to God, if people were driving past, like you're saying, man, and they just saw Waffle House, and they see like a whole bunch of people. That's the greatest Waffle House ever, you know. It's like
I can't tell if that's intended or craft.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then they walk up, and somebody in line says, "Dude, my reservation's been in place since last June, so you better back up."
Yeah. Get out of here. What are you doing? I've been waiting forever.
Come on. I'm really. There's something to that though. I don't know.
Have you guys ever been to a Waffle House?
No, I have. I've wanted to, but I have not.
I think I have.
Mm-hmm. I have several times traveling down in the South.
Where
yeah.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yep. I mean, because they're only in. You know, it seems like the Southeast is where like a vast majority of them are.
I'm
sure there's a few that have creeped up. You know, a little bit further north, but yeah, you're not going to find those everywhere. So,
And aren't those the place where you're in? The kitchen is like kind of right there.
It's like an old diner. Yeah, a lot of them are set up like
They're on the back end of
the counter.
Cooking.
Yep, you see them there.
Food, food comes right out. You can watch it be made.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We are going to wrap up the 9 o'clock, the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to wrap that up with some Veterans Day good stories and some quotes for you. We'll wrap up this hour with and that ain't right. A video from a wedding last month in England is going viral because the father of the bride forgot the bride.
Oops.
He walked down the aisle without her and had to go back. Everyone loved it, including his daughter. She was nervous and said it. She was nervous and said it broke the tension.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Like, did he miss the rehearsal?
That's a good question. Maybe they didn't have a rehearsal.
Oh, that's a great question, Melissa. Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Where you go? Wait. Where you go? Oh.
So I it does feel a little bit like, I mean, of all the things that we know of weddings, this is pretty much one of the more tried and true ones.
This is the important part, right? The
feels very vital.
Very vital to the whole situation.
The important part at a traditional wedding. Let me just throw that out there.
Yes.
Ever the iconoclast, Melissa K.
What I would like to see... I would like to have seen him, like, just kind of he realizes this at a certain point. He's walking down the aisle, and he's actually got his arm out.
Like someone's there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Oh, look, there's someone. Is there someone coming to get him?
Yeah, there's somebody. Hey, Oh, so then somebody comes and tells him that, hey, you forgot. And everybody laughs.
Everyone laughs.
Everybody laughs.
That's great.
That's wonderful. That
so
everybody
maybe he did it on purpose.
It doesn't look like he did.
If he did, he is one of the finer actors I've ever seen in my
comic
life.
Comic genius.
Yeah. Because he's got the arm cocked out. And I genuinely, have you ever had somebody grab your arm or put their arm around you or put their arm around your arm, but you barely feel it because mm-hmm. they're just barely touching your
elbow. Or they're
just
holding it on top or something. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what he thought was going on. I don't know how, other than, you know
pretty
what?
Sure you'd notice the bride with the big dress.
I feel like it. Yeah. You know what I think happened? I think he was more nervous than anybody there.
And I think that has something to do with it.
Just he heard the music go, and
he just started walking. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yep. And look, sir, if you haven't used that excuse, you are welcome to it. Because that's I don't know if you're going to come up with better than that.
The cool thing is that everyone just thought it was. I mean, they cut to a shot of the groom standing up there, and he's laughing. He thinks it's hilarious. It's a great thing, boy. Talk about cutting the tension.
Yeah, yeah. Hearing that the bride loved it and everything. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Weddings can be, there's so many emotions. They're so intense. Yeah. It's great to see people just, I think more weddings should be about the fun.
And they have a heck of a story now.
Oh, great story.
They have one of the better wedding stories you're going to have.
Certainly weddings don't, I'm not saying that this is as vital as having the cake or the rings, but, a wedding deserves a good story.
Yeah.
Every wedding should have
that's
a good story
part of it,
to it
yeah.
or something like that. Sometimes it's the ending. we have got good stuff lined up for you this week sports-wise. Join us later today for Playmakers from 5 to 6, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, of course. And then tomorrow at 7:05, it's the Wisconsin Hockey Hour.
Yeah.
Badgers having a nice up and down, nice season so far.
Yeah,
it's not bad. It's not bad.
they had a little trouble with the Gophers this weekend, though.
Very similar with the Wisconsin Badger football team. We'll be hearing from Coach Fickell at 7:05 on Wednesday, as we will every Wednesday throughout the college football season. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to what he's going to say here. I'm very curious. I would love the idea if the NFL and college schedule makers, they were like, you know what? It's been an election week. Let's give the people of Wisconsin the week off of football.
Yeah, right.
We're going to give the Badgers and the Packers a bye week on the same week.
The same weekend. That's weird. Anyway.
Yeah. I would love to know the stats on that.
How often that happens. It can't be very often.
We've got that lined up for you. We've got a great week of guests lined up for you as well. A little bit later today, we will be talking Lights of Love with Lisa and Tammy.
All right.
We're going to be talking about that.
That's coming up soon. Oh, my goodness.
The Zohr Shriners are going to join us as well. We'll be talking with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We've got Realty Radio with David Farnborough this week. Our family from Family Natural Foods going to be joining us, Stephen and Katrina. We'll be hearing from Anna Mitchell from UW Extension. Looking forward to that. And we wrap up the week with Senator Patrick Teston joining us and Breakfast with Santa.
All right. Oh, it's that time of year.
Yep.
Lots of Santa stuff coming up.
Could be good stuff. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the 9 o'clock hour. Stick around. Kitchen's open. Coming up for you, everybody, right here on...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump's wasting no time choosing top posts in his upcoming administration, selecting former ICE head Tom Homan for border czar. Homan tells Fox,
"This is the biggest national security vulnerability this nation has seen since."